Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avant Card, offering Ireland's first personalised lending rates.
Time for Tell Me Why with Graeme Finley. If you've a question for Graeme, you can send it in as ever to afternoon@newstalk.com. Today's question is, how do babies know to suckle when they're born? Graeme, good afternoon.
Afternoon, Sean.
And just to save all those people 30 cent, yes, two men talking about breastfeeding, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, how do babies know how to do that? I assume it's instinctive.
It is. It's quite remarkable. It's entirely reflexive. And so, I mean, one of the most interesting things about this area is, you know, babies know how to suckle automatically in the very first few minutes after birth. And a remarkable amount of research, I guess because it's kind of important, has been done into the reflexes themselves, what works, what doesn't work with babies just a few minutes after they're born. And this actually kind of struck me. I'm reading all these studies. I'm like, how did they sort of do all this stuff where, I mean, I can see the part where they try some different things, which are all focused on what is really the main task for the baby at this time, which is feeding.
Yeah.
Right. You know, so it's not surprising evolutionarily these things have evolved. But a lot of these studies involve, you know, trying different things out on newborns, right? And, you know, like separating them from their mothers.
Who's going to agree to that?
Well, exactly. I was kind of wondering about this, right? You know, like, I mean, science is a wonderful thing, but I, in my particular case, and of course, I was not the main player at the time, right? You know, we were kind of focused on advancing our own child's life and not this knowledge, which would come from separating it from its mother arbitrarily as part of some control group. But no, that what happens is, and it's another remarkable thing, is how recently this was discovered, 1987. Babies do, after about 15 or more minutes, maybe 30 minutes, the breast crawl. Now, you can actually look this up on YouTube. You'll have to turn off all your sort of security and content blockers, and you shouldn't do it at work because this apparently is some kind of niche pornography for people. But babies will start to move their legs, like with doing the stepping reflex, right, to root and look around and climb up the mother's body to the nipple and start sucking. And this involves a lot of reflexes. It involves the stepping reflex, which otherwise people just use for fun videos where they have their babies pretending to walk even though they're not going to walk for months, right? And the sucking reflex and the rooting reflex. And these are all reflexes. And they're the primitive reflexes, which is what they call them, which disappear over the quite early on in a baby's development, right? Mm. So these are reflexes which babies are born with. And the reflexes themselves are absolutely fascinating. They're based on reflex arcs within the nervous system, which don't go to the brain. They take place in the spinal
column. They're kind of local,
and so forth.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're that much faster. You need your reflexes to work fast. You can't be sort of pondering this if you're a baby. You know, which breast? Apparently, actually, in the course of the breast crawl, babies might pause for rest. Right, and they might switch sides, in the midstream, you know, but they're not thinking about it a lot.
What's a rooting reflex?
A rooting reflex is sort of searching for the nipple,
or just having a root.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and then the sucking reflex, separate reflex, is when something touches the top or the inside of the top of the mouth, like the nipple, ideally, to begin actual sucking. And it's incredibly important for that this happens in the first hour. Because, and again, the sort of abandonment experiments, you know, if you take the babies away, then they don't engage in, they don't initiate breastfeeding. And the actual consequences for long-term baby health are considerable when it comes to breastfeeding. Now, I'm not here to shame people who choose another route. I know there's a relatively low take-up of breastfeeding in Ireland. Breastfeeding is not, as anybody who's tried it or even been around it being tried, not one of those things which, despite all these reflexes, seems to come naturally to most babies.
Well, that's kind of the interesting thing, that the baby arrives equipped with these reflexes and a reflex to suck. But then again, you hear, and it's not uncommon at all, the baby fails to latch on for some reason. Now, is that because their reflexes aren't working?
Well, it's often the case in my own personal experience and in things I sort of know about, that the latch might work quite well initially, right? But as time goes on, and maybe as these reflexes weaken, right? Breastfeeding becomes more difficult. My only advice—
they kind of forget.
And as someone who's been there, right? I know, of course, you're not at sort of optimal situations yourself as, as a couple, right? But as someone who's been there, seek help. Don't try and suffer alone, trying to fix breastfeeding without help. Also, don't be afraid to use bottles. You know, I know there's a whole set of controversies, which we're just about to stir up, about whether you should supplement with bottles or what, you know,
or you
things
can,
you
well,
can
I mean,
use
some
to
women find it easier to express it and then feed Baba.
Basically,
that way
do whatever works, right? But anyway, get back to the actual moment.
So the baby's got these reflexes, and baby's going, okay, I'm going to kind of shuffle up in. How do they know which is the right direction to travel in, and how do they know a nipple when they see one? Because they can't see that well.
Good question. We know a lot of things about babies, but the main part of it seems to be sensory, and it's smell. And so there's another recent research, which is really quite recent research, which has shown that temperature is also a big factor. But first of all, they can see the breast, they can see the nipple, and because babies are actually very, very good at visualization, they can pick out faces rather than just other arrangements of black and white. But they can spot sort of dark things on light backgrounds, which is why nipples are dark. They like the mother's face. And actually, this is kind of why what they used to do with breastfeeding, which was to just lash that baby on right away, isn't the way to go. You should go with the breast crawl, because if you put the baby like literally on the breast, they will look at, they want, they're actually not ready. They're going to look at the mother's face. They just, the first thing they want to do is look at their mother's face. And that's has positive effects on the mother. The mother is much more favorably disposed towards the baby if and mothers seem to really, really want to engage in eye contact with the baby. But vision isn't the main sensory way they get it. It's smell. And they think that during our evolutionary history, women, it seems, would mostly do the whole birth thing themselves. And so they'd be covered with birth fluids, amniotic fluid, and so forth. And that's what babies are really attracted to. So, you know, an unwashed breast will attract the baby more than a washed breast. But you know, in the past, in our evolutionary history, amniotic fluid would be all over the breast, and that would guide the baby to the breast. This is true, apparently, of chimpanzees and primates and other mammals. And it's interesting because, as they point out, other mammals don't actually have this distinction in color between nipple and background, as it were, right, and breast or teat, because there's fur involved, right?
Yes.
So that's another reason why smell might be the main sort of thing to get them. But there is a very interesting study, which is only quite recently done, which shows that it may have something to do with differential temperature, because just after birth, a woman's nipples get warmer, and a baby's lips get colder. And so the difference in temperature is quite significant, about one point something degrees, given those two factors. And so the baby moves towards the warm thing.
Right. How interesting.
Yeah. And it's a huge, I mean, so what, like I said, there's huge importance to putting the baby on the woman's stomach, but not right on the breast, letting it sort of get there by itself, or he or she get there by themselves. In about 35, 45 minutes, 55 minutes, because that leads to sort of optimal results. Because if, babies aren't interested in sucking, right, and its initiation is put off too long, babies just go to sleep, right? And then you lose all these benefits. It's. I mean, in a way, you don't want to stress people out of what is already kind of a
I mean, you've just given birth, you know.
Yeah.
Somebody else maybe should think about
it. It seems like an incredibly important time, that first hour, and one where you shouldn't probably do scientific experiments. But, you know, the other factor is oxytocin, and breastfeeding, especially in this crucial hour, produces oxytocin, which is a drug which makes you feel good in the mother's brain, but also in the baby's brain.
Yeah.
And it has all sorts of effects in terms of bonding, but also in terms of pain relief and just general feelings of wellness, which stand both mother and baby in good stead. And that's because women are often acting on reflexes at this time. And so they found that mothers will adopt the same stroking motions, the same patterns of behavior automatically, basically, when the baby's placed on their body just after birth. And so what you have is a very, very beautiful sort of moment in many ways, one which keeps you from disposing of the baby. Apparently, they've actually have done studies of this. You know, like, so mothers are much less likely to abandon their baby if this kind of contact has happened. They've done studies on that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway,
okay.
You've got this beautiful moment where mother and baby are bonding, but it's all produced, not surprisingly, by our evolutionary history and by some of the most primitive mechanisms in the human body and brain.
And so, as you say, the baby's main job is to get up there and have their dinner. Do they come preloaded with any other instinctive reactions to things?
They do have other reactions, and most of these seem to suggest evolutionary benefits as well. One of them, you know, people like to try this. I mean, if you put something in the baby's hand, palm, they'll grab it. The same thing is true of the feet. They'll arch their backs. There's the Moro reflex or the startle reflex, where if you make a noise or whatever, the baby will reach out its arms and legs and then bring them back together. And they think evolutionarily, when mothers were carrying babies around on them, you know, that would allow the baby to, if it's jostled or startled, to cling to the mother more carefully.
But babies, and probably many people listening may have had that. They've seen a baby sneeze or something or do it to themselves.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. No, babies can startle themselves. Yeah. There's the swimming reflex, which, again, the people online suggest you don't experiment with because it involves throwing your baby into a pool. And it's one thing if you're Nirvana, but it's another if it's your baby. And there's also, what's another thing, interesting thing about these, there's also the parachute reflex, which is if you, and don't try this at home, if you like take a baby who is months away from walking and sort of push them forward, they will put out their hands to stop them. Even though, again, they're months away from walking, the chance of them walking is zero.
Yeah, falling on their face is higher, so it's they have that reaction.
The other interesting thing about these reflexes is, again, that they disappear in the course of normal human development, often within a couple months, sometimes within a couple years. On some conditions, like dementia, right, or cerebral palsy, or other people who have damage to certain kinds of their systems, brain systems, these reflexes can reappear. And it's one of the ways in which people can diagnose some of these neurological conditions. And people, depending on their particular situation, can control them sometimes or suppress these reflexes. But the persistence of these reflexes is a sign in children of problems with their development, and in adults, the sign of one of these underlying conditions.
How fascinating. Graham Findlay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avant Card, offering Ireland's first personalised lending rates.